Welcome to 6 Minute Stories, where you hear the writing of new voices and experienced writers whose submissions appear in the anthologies of the Personal Story Publishing Project. Now in Season 9, you will hear stories from our 10th collection, Now or Never. Find links to 6 Minute Stories and to the Personal Story Publishing Project at randalljones.com. Everybody loves a good story. We hope you enjoy this one. Sitting Through Grain by Jamie Cheshire. The first thing I noticed was what looked like clown shoes. But that couldn't be right. Not here. Not today, anyway. I was about a half block away, and as I got closer, I realized I was looking at the mismatched attire of poverty and fatigue. It was Sunday morning, and I was pulling up to the light at MLK in Cleveland. A woman on the sidewalk had crossed Cleveland from the McDonald's on that corner and looked like she was going to come on across MLK. But she was moving delicately and ponderously slow, arthritically slow. I was stopped on red and could see her easily. The shoes were fluffy scruffs, and their tall profile ahead of her skinny ankles gave her feet the comical poise I'd seen at a distance. I was already fascinated with her, another ordinary citizen of the active and fringy intersections around this contrasted little proud town. Other than her feet, which told their own story, I was fascinated with the deep lavender headcloth she wore, folded and wrapped into a self-possessed nobility and worn as well as any royalty could, and her bright gold billowy sweatshirt. But what further caught my eye and held it was the color of her skin. I should say it's light. It was the color of my coffee when it's right, but it had a hunted glow no coffee has ever had, a glow undiminished by recognizably mean circumstance. The ordinary person crossing in front of me was beautiful. She started across MLK near the white lines that told her where to walk, but dismissed their instructions and took the shorter path. Just a little jaywalk, because those white lines offered her nothing. And she paid no attention to the man in the white truck, stopped at this particular moment, at this particular light, while driving over to the next town to have breakfast with his son. She was squinting at a voice I could hear back behind me to my left, and seemed not to even see me, dividing her attention between the voice, her careful steps, the lines, and my truck. I was just another object she had to navigate. I was just another object, an obstacle, a thing between her and where she was going. The veil fluttered open a little, and I could clearly see the scraped and fragile uncertainty of her circumstance. For an instant, the way she carried her coffee became its most visible symbol. She cradled it from the bottom, the way one does when takeout coffee is too hot. But she carried it carefully, attentively, as if it were precious. Was she going to sit and have coffee with a voice behind me? Did they have a regular place, a sunny place? Would they smoke? Was one coffee intended for two? What might they talk about, or who? The veil fell all the way away from both appearances, the beautiful and the poor, leaving neither. What do I know about this woman? What entire happy or unhappy vivid life is looking out from the eyes squinted at the voice behind me to my left, squinted so deep they're just black crinkles under her brow? What work and what play have engaged the hands now holding that hot cup? Have they known tenderness? What is her story? Who are her people? Are they near? How long have her feet felt the way they feel today? How did she get there? How did I? When I looked up, the light was just turning yellow to tell me I had sat through grain and that time had stopped again to show me something I could not otherwise have seen. I wondered how many changes I'd sat through, how big a minute had been held out. She rode with me then, all the way to Greensboro, just as certainly as if she had been beside me in the truck. And when Ryan and I were done with breakfast and the errands he needed, she caught a ride back. Truth is, she's sitting here beside me right now. On the ride back, she said, "You know that thing some people say when they see somebody looks like me?" She waited. "I know you know it. There, but for the grace of God, go I." I've been thinking a lot lately about the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves and about the differences between us. I nodded and looked over at her. She was watching me hear what she was saying. "That's not the truth," she said. I waited. "There go I. That's the truth." Copyright 2024, Jamie Cheshire. Fascinated with every big and little thing, Jamie Cheshire has long been an avid student of design and structure. Having worked together with giants, he has had the extreme good fortune to practice his craft for most of the last four decades, and has seen his graphic work appear nationally and in several countries on three continents. He lives in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, with his beloved feral hippie chick wife, their three dogs and two cats. Deeply committed to the ordinary, he is constantly searching for a way to describe it. Read more about this writer and background on this story in a special feature of 6 Minute Stories called Author's Talk. Thank you for listening to another 6 Minute Story. You can read them all in the 10 anthologies of the Personal Story Publishing Project. Find the link to our online store at randalljones.com. That's RandellJones.com. There you can learn more about submitting your own story for consideration for our next Personal Story Publishing Project. And remember, everybody loves a good story.